when the replay official did not stop the game?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll get fined for the rest of my life if I get commented on that.
We had a great belief in our locker room. We didn't have to do anything special, just be us. I was so proud of this team. We had so much fun, it ought to be illegal.
Coach Carousel talk, is that something you just ignore?
Yeah, you ignore, because one week you're getting fired and the next week you're going to take another job, and I'm worried about the darn SEC West Championship. And so, yes, to answer your question.
Our purpose is to win, make no mistake about it, but it's to win the right way. And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the SEC East.
That's iron sharpening iron. That's the way this thing's got to work, man. We got to know and understand that it's got to be about competition.
Talk about the reception you received from the fan base. Did you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you got off the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had. I didn't think of that. It was like an anniversary or something like that.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
It's time for Carolina football. So get the fuck out of your seats. Spurs up.
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast presented by MyBookie. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, Shane. So this is going to be one of our shorter episodes. You know, we always preview the games, and then we get into a little bit of a shorter one. But I think I've come up with a fun little idea to talk a little SEC football before we get to just a couple of coach comments here. But how you doing, buddy?
Dude, I am fantastic. We went hiking today. Apparently, I didn't get the old text from SEC Chris there to let me know that it was a daggone monsoon out, but we had an absolute blast. I tell you, it was probably supposed to be closer to a 2-hour hike that ended up being a 3-hour hike just because we kept getting lost, man. With the leaves down, it's hard to follow the trail and everything like that. And speaking of falling, I fell down a few times, but we had an absolute blast, man. Really did.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it, Shane. Glad you made it back. So I hope I get to join you one day when I'm not sitting here on a computer all day, but that day will not be today.
Well, I try to do something a little bit each week. You know, it's like I want to get out there, and we've been having a real good time. And honestly, I just like, you know, the kids having to turn their phones off and just kind of just get off the network for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Just unplug. It's a great I love going out, just kind of reset everything. And especially if you've got a bad week with your football team, you're just down in the dumps, and you can just go, you know what I'm saying? Just a hard reset when you go out there and say, you know what? We're on to the next week, Mike. So That's what we are.
Well, hey, buddy, before we get to these coach clips, I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk. You know, sadly, we are basically at the midpoint here of the SEC season. It's been a great season. I thought the listeners would appreciate my thoughts on the midseason All-SEC team. What do you think about that?
I love that. And this is Mike, so they can't be mad at me if their boy's not on there. And I'll be happy to critique you along the way, Mike.
All right, well, let's get to it. And yeah, so, you know, I put quite a bit of thought into this, but I'm definitely going to leave some people out, so feel free to hit me up and say, you know, I'm sure every fan base is going to say, should have had their guy, should have had this guy, but you can only have so many, otherwise this is a 2,000 person list here. But starting with the quarterback, so I only put two on the list here. I'm going with Kyle Trask, Florida quarterback, of course, and Mac Jones, who, my goodness, I discredit him during the offseason. We got to give him credit where credit's due now. I think I said it previously this week, 3 SEC Offensive Player of the Week awards out of 5 weeks. You can't not put Mac Jones on the list. So those are my two quarterbacks. Shane, any argument with those two selections?
No, I think that's, I mean, okay, so here's what we're going to have, Mike. We're going to have some Kellen Mond lovers. We're going to have some potentially, you know, Matt Corral. I mean, if how many wins was Matt Corral away from being the number two spot? Are these guys far and beyond everybody else right now, in your opinion?
Well, he's just thrown too many interceptions the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And you know, it's certainly a different story. He doesn't have Kyle Pitts to throw to. He doesn't got Najee Harris to hand the ball to. He doesn't got Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith and all these guys. So it's kind of hard to compare him. But like I said, hey, we can't put every quarterback on this list. So
that's true.
I had to make the cutoff there. And had Matt Corral, I don't want to say cost the team the Arkansas game, but you could certainly make the case. I think I would have put him on this list.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, running backs. Here I did go a little bit crazy because we've got some serious talent at the running back position in the SEC this year. Number one, I got to go Najee Harris. I believe he's got 13 touchdowns right now, which is more than, I believe, five SEC teams. So he's killing it. Had to put him on the list. Tank Bigsby from Auburn. I know he's just a true freshman, but he's killing it. He's carrying this Auburn offense. He's on my list. A guy that I was not even really aware of heading into the season, Kevin Harris from South Carolina. I think he's been the star of this South Carolina offense. We were doom and gloom when Marshawn Lloyd went down.
Yeah.
That still hurts. Would have loved to seen him out there. Imagine him with Kevin Harris, what that South Carolina offense would look like with those two guys. Hopefully next season we'll get to see that, but Kevin Harris, in my opinion, too good to leave off this list. And this was a tough one. I think no matter which direction I went with, I think A&M fans were going to be upset. But I didn't want to include both the running backs. I thought that would be kind of a cop-out. So I went with Isaiah Spiller, Texas A&M running back. He's really hitting those holes hard right now and carried them to that. Well, Kellen Mond certainly played a huge role in beating Florida, but Spiller had a big day. He's had just a great season. So thoughts on those four running backs, Najee Harris, Tank Bigsby, Kevin Harris, and Isaiah Spiller.
I think they're great, man. I think it's a great call. Ely, you know, is probably one that comes to mind since, you know, and it kind of sucks that he's a little bit more of a committee down there. Maybe that's why he's not on the list. Maybe you could say the same thing about Rodriguez. Another one that if he'd get the ball more, which kind of surprises you that he hasn't, maybe he's a little higher on this list. But I think you nailed it with these four. I obviously, it's impossible to keep Najee off. I really love what I'm seeing from Kevin Harris, you know, and Tank, true freshman. I mean, probably freshman of the year right now. And Spiller, one thing that because he is a committee, you overlook that he's probably got the highest yards per rush attempt right now. I think he's sitting there closer to 7 yards at attempt. So, I like this list.
And the two guys I just want to mention real quick, kind of like honorable mention, Larry Roundtree, Missouri. He almost made the cut for me. He had a hell of a game there against Kentucky. And then I think James Cook, he's missed some time, but he's been fantastic for Georgia. So he's right there on the edge too for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, receiver position, Shane. This one was tough. A lot of good receivers in the SEC. So I went five deep here because you can throw five deep on the field. So I think that was fair. Terrence Marshall for LSU. He's killing it. Absolutely killing it. First time as the number one option there in LSU. And he has not disappointed. He's exceeded expectations. Elijah Moore, Ole Miss. He's just killing it down there. He didn't have a great game against Auburn. It's fascinating. He still scored a touchdown. He said, well, he didn't have a great game. That's many receivers don't even get in the end zone. So Elijah Moore, he's just been a machine this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Williams for Auburn, he's killing it. Just had a game winner over Elijah Moore's Ole Miss team. So had to throw him on the list. He's been playing well ever since the starting game when he kind of went beast mode on Kentucky. This one's kind of sad, and I didn't put him on the list because he got hurt. I put him on the list because he's that damn good. Jalen Waddle. Alabama, got to put him on the list. And then last but not least, a guy I think that has exceeded all expectations this year, Shy Smith, South Carolina. Thoughts on that? On those guys?
I thought you were going to leave Shy off there for a second. You know, just a guy that is the only guy right now and what he's been able to create, even though everybody's eyes are on him. So, no, this is a pretty straightforward list, Mike. I really like that. So, can you give me a rundown real quick one more time?
Yeah, Terrence Marshall for LSU, Elijah Moore, Ole Miss, Seth Williams, Auburn, Jalen Waddle, Alabama, Shy Smith, South Carolina.
Now, you know, what about Mechie? I mean, I know Waddle's out, so, I mean, do you replace him? I mean, is that like an asterisk? You maybe put John in there because, I mean, since he went down, he's been the only production. So, I mean, like the highest production.
Yeah, maybe. But again, I just didn't want to throw too many Alabama guys. Hell, you could put them all up there, honestly. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So I tried to pick the one I thought was the best from that team.
Okay.
And then I had a couple honorable mentions. Kadarius Toney, I think he's played outstanding for Florida. And Treylon Burks for Arkansas, he's right there on that list. And that's the list those are my two honorable mentions there.
Okay.
All right, tight end. I think this is going to be the most obvious pick in the world. Kyle Pitts from Florida. But I went too deep. I wanted to throw some love to Kenny Yabota for Ole Miss. I think he's had a great year. And then honorable mention almost included this guy. But Jalen Wattemeyer from Texas A&M. Those are my three tight ends, I think, standing out to me.
Yeah. What about Eric Gilbert? You want to see a little bit more? Or?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I hyped him up so damn much. Not to say he's not lived up to the hype. I think he has. But he may be on this list by the end of the season. But okay. I think he's right off the cut right now for me.
Okay.
All right, skipping the offensive line. Not that, I mean...
Oh, linemen don't matter, do they, Mike? Huh?
No, but I just hate these offensive line lists, which it's like when you haven't studied it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the guy. We'll get Cole Kublik on here if we want an honest list of who's the best offensive lineman in the SEC. We know that Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee's got some standouts, Kentucky, but I feel like a dumbass trying to break that down. You know what?
It's like building a cake, Mike. You know, you don't want to talk about the foundation, the breading. You know, you just want to get straight to the icing, Mike. Right. I get it. Us fat guys don't matter, I guess. But go on.
But I did do defensive line. Because he's just...
Oh, even worse, Mike. Why you couldn't just do one side? So. All right.
These are the guys that have been standing out to me on the defensive line. Javon Peavy for Texas A&M,
mm-hmm.
Kingsley Enagbare from South Carolina, and then these two guys, they're kind of classified as linebackers, kind of classified as defensive ends, but DeAndre Johnson for Tennessee, he's been a revelation, and then the other guy kind of in that same mold, Azeez Ojulari for Georgia. I know most people probably have them as outside linebackers, but you're playing in that 3-4 defense, you're kind of like a hybrid, so I didn't know quite where to put those guys, but both those guys have been really productive off the edge for Georgia and Tennessee, so thoughts on that list?
No, I think this is a good list, Mike, and, you know, I think out of all of them right now, this is the one that could easily change before, you know, the season's up.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. All right, linebacker, I think you're going to like this list, Shane. Number one.
Nick Bolton.
Not even a debate. Nick Bolton, Missouri. I think he's been the best linebacker so far.
Yeah.
Grant Morgan, Arkansas, the one-armed man. I mean, he's out here getting 20 tackles on one arm, getting pick sixes. Had to include him. Jamar Watson is a guy I've been very impressed with at Kentucky. And then last but not least, Ernest Jones, South Carolina. He's been just a tackling machine, too. He's getting banged up. He's still staying in these games. I know South Carolina's coming off a rough appearance, but don't want to discredit him.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that list?
No, I think, again, this is another list that is fluid, but I think just really when you're looking at these guys, these are the leaders of the defense, man. You know, there's a lot of personalities on this list, so that's what I love about these linebackers, man.
And before, you know, Vol Nation, they probably get on me, Henry T. He would have been on this list, but...
You don't like Tennessee. I get it.
I think he's been a disappointment the last 2 weeks, you know? Mm. I mean, one was playing Alabama, I could certainly see, but Kentucky, I don't know. I mean, if he plays like he did the first couple games, he's on this list. So, there you go. All right, defensive back, Jalen Catalon, Arkansas. He's been outstanding. J.C. Horn, South Carolina. Roger McCreary, Auburn, and Richard LeCount, Georgia. That's an all SEC defensive backfield if I ever saw one.
Yeah, those all of those are playing on Sunday, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, last two here. You're going to laugh, Shane, because I disrespect the offensive line, but not disrespecting kicker and punter.
Long snappers. So.
Evan McPherson from Florida.
Uh-huh.
And Max Duffy from Kentucky. That's my kicker and punter. Any debate on that one?
No, I like the Duff. No, this is a good list.
All right, buddy. So, yeah, there it is. And
what about kickers? You just did punters, right?
No. Evan McPherson from Florida.
Oh, Evan. Okay, I wasn't paying
He's hit multiple 50-yarders, I believe. He's not missed a kick yet this year. So, he's money. He's the money man right now in the SEC, if you ask me.
What about Carlson? You don't like Auburn?
I think he's missed a couple kicks.
Yeah, but he's still like one of the best, I think. He's got the most field goals made this year.
Well, just because Auburn can't score touchdowns doesn't make him the best kicker in the SEC. Well,
I would like to point out, Mike, you know, we've got Alabama on every list, and for once they've got a kicker that is 100%, and we're not going to bring it up. So I think he should also be an honorable mention.
Yeah, Will Reichert, he has a really good year.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. So that's my list. I look forward to everyone ripping me. I wasn't trying to rip anybody if I didn't put you on the list, but tried to make it all around the SEC, included quite a few guys there. So I hope you guys appreciated that. And if you did, I'll do another one at the end of the season.
No, I thought this was good, Mike. Good work, brother.
All right, Shane. So real quick, we just got a couple things here. You ready to go around the league?
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
Yeah, Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
All right, I don't have a clip here for LSU, but just wanted to make this quick note that Coach O, during the latest SEC teleconference, he says that Miles Brennan not expected to play. That makes it even tougher. We got the Tank Finley for LSU, obviously. We're not too concerned about him, although it will be his first road game in a hostile environment at Auburn, where the Tigers have been pretty tough there in recent years. So that'll be something to consider. Shane, does this, I don't want you to tip your hand or anything, but does this change your feelings on this LSU Auburn game if Miles Brennan can't play?
Maybe a little bit, because one thing that South Carolina didn't do last week, and it was brought up after the game, was blitz. Mm-hmm. Create havoc. And, you know, I just can't imagine Coach Steele's going to do the same script, because you cannot give TJ time to throw. Let's throw some things at him. So, you know, something that Miles has dealt with this season. Yeah. So I would adjust my score just a little bit here, and kind of surprises me that, you know, I think that they're not wanting to rush Miles back. And if last week's game would have went different, it wouldn't surprise me to see him rolled out this week. So I just think they got confidence in the young guy, and they're willing to roll with him.
Right, and next week they're on a bye before they face Alabama. So Miles Brennan, potentially we're looking at about a little over a month of rest,
yeah,
potentially. Mm-hmm. So if he misses this game, it's not official, but certainly sounds like he's not. But let me throw it just a quick curveball at you, Shane. If Tank comes out and has another great game, leads LSU to a big win, not saying that is what's going to happen, but if it does, oh, man, Coach O, he doesn't want to talk about the quarterback controversy now, but if he does that, we might We might have to heat that bad boy up a little bit.
Dude, if he comes out and looks anything like he did last week, yeah, you know, they say you can't lose your job to injury, but you're about to lose your job to injury because if he can mirror the performance he had last week, I can't say that, you know, especially now that the film out on him, you know, I think it's time to just keep him. But, you know, if he's rattled and it's a close game or it's a, you know, this is a smart move. Coach has got a trump card, like I said the other day, you know, he could just say, well, you know, I had to play a freshman, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Shay, well, before we move on, let's remind the listeners we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Head on over to mybookie.ag today. All new customers receive 100% deposit match up to $1,000. That means if you're a new customer to mybookie.ag and you put in the promo code THATSEC, that's THATSEC, they will match your initial deposit up to $1,000. So you could potentially start with $2,000 to gamble on, Shane, immediately. And we got this college football firing up. We're going to get into some picks here. But, man, I'm just fired up that college football is finally here. And the only thing that makes football better, in my opinion, is drinking some beer and betting all these games. So head on over to mybookie.ag. Once again, that promo code is THATSEC over at mybookie.ag. Thousands of cross sports wagers, props, parlays, all that. Winning season begins today only at mybookie with that promo code THATSEC. All right, let's skip it on down to Oxford next real quick.
Howdy-toddy, old miss.
Where, you know, this is something you wisely hinted at on the last show, Shay. We got Lane Kiffin here, was asked during his Wednesday press conference about the damn refs again and if he's been sending them pennies to the SEC office.
Lane, I was wondering how many pennies have showed up at the building over the course of this week.
I was waiting for that, Neil. You guys took a long time to get to that. You guys are getting soft. Because that's really the only question you cared about. You really didn't care about the other ones. I've had a lot of offer for pennies. I've had some offer, you know, from my son for some math education, also some tutoring. I would like to say that I did know that all along. I was just setting it up for more attention when I got to the replay part. So, you know, just like the video at FAU, you know, when the no energy video, and I did that on purpose just so we could get more publicity, you know. And so I would assume we're kind of the most talked about 1-4 team, and people forgot we're 1-4, so maybe it worked. But I did joke with the commissioner when he called me and, you know, told me about the fine. I said I was surprised that a retweet, you know, would get you a fine. You know, it's not something I'm saying, and so we retweet things all the time. And I kind of joked with him. I said, well, if I'm getting fined, I got to do something, you know, like, so not just a retweet. That's not very much fun. So I had a little fun with them with the pennies. So, and it's behind us. I understand his position, you know. So I really thought it was okay. I really was retweeting not because of the comment. I was retweeting because of the video with it showing so all the fans could see in case they hadn't seen, you know, it hit in the hand. I'd gotten fined at Conference USA, much less money, by the way. But because I retweeted, you know, the blind refs with the scene dogs after one of our games. Well, the commissioner, Judy, said, hey, you could have got away with the retweet, but you tagged at Conference USA officials or something. So I thought I was okay there, but I guess not.
Some of the players, I guess it was yesterday, said that they appreciated you doing that. It felt like you had their back, that kind of thing. Have you, what kind of feedback have you gotten from players about the fine and the tweets and stuff?
Well, they joke about it out there, you know, because that's a lot of money. But especially when you're a college kid, that's a ton of money, you know. So they kind of joke and they're mad at me, like, you know, can you just share that with us, you know? Save the retweet and help us out. You know, we can barely make dinner around here. So I don't know. I like to think the players think that, you know, we don't say things in the media because what we're supposed to and, you know, what the media wants us to say. You know, we protect our players and back our players.
All right, Shane. So it is kind of funny, obviously. That's why we keep talking about it. Lane Kiffin's a quote machine down there, but maybe a little mastery to why he's doing this. You know, he says, hell, everybody's talking about us. We're 1-4. Nobody's looking at that. He probably shouldn't even have said that part out loud, but mm-hmm. So he makes a good point, but at the same time, it certainly seems like they're still haunted by this damn officiating error. And maybe I'm just reading a little too much into the fan reaction and everything, because fans are, they'll never get over it. And I don't blame them. Right. I wouldn't either. But if your young team isn't over this by now, we're halfway through. We've got one more practice probably until this damn game. We can't still be talking about what happened in this. So we're walking a fine line here, I feel like, if we're Ole Miss right now, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, let me tie it into a hiking trip I had today, Mike. Mm-hmm. So we're walking and we come across this little turtle, okay? And my youngest, she's pumped up about this thing. We're taking pictures and whatnot. Then we continue walking. But as we're walking away, she keeps looking back to see if that turtle's moving. But what she doesn't see is the tree that's right in front of her as she walks right into it. So I'm trying to use that as a metaphor to what could happen to Ole Miss if they keep, you know, looking in that rearview mirror. If they keep, you know, just sulking over what happened last Saturday, then you're going to mess up and get your ass beat this Saturday. So I think, we need a hard reset. It's not fair because the media keeps bringing it up. You know, the fans keep talking about it. But long as that locker room's right and they flush that thing and they're moving on to the next week, they'll be fine.
All right, final thing I got, Shane, sticking in the state of Mississippi. Let's hop on down to Starkville. Well, we got big news here out of Mississippi State. Everyone was kind of buzzing about this, but we got a couple more players leaving Mississippi State this week. Remember Coach Leach after, I'm trying to remember which loss it was. I guess it was the Arkansas or Kentucky game. I don't recall which one, but basically Coach said, you know, we got to get rid of guys that aren't bought in.
Yeah.
And since he said that, 7 guys have officially left. We just had Tyrell Shavers. He had the transfer from Alabama, who's been here, 5 games. He's gone. He had a huge game against LSU. That was basically it. Junior defensive end, Jamari Stewart, gone. Defensive lineman, freshman, Trey Lawson, gone. We already know the bearded traitor. Another quarterback, Jalen Maiden, who was a 4-star recruit, gone. Freshman offensive lineman, Nick Penley, gone. Senior running back Kareem Walker, gone. And let's kick it over to Coach Leach. We hinted at it previously. Kylin Hill, what's his status? There was all kinds of speculation this week. So Coach Leach, his comments here from the teleconference on Wednesday, not exactly, you know, what you're hoping to hear from your coach, I would think.
Right.
Hey, Mike, just wanted to ask if you could update the statuses of Trey Lawson, Jamari Stewart, and Tyrell Shavers and whether they're still with the program.
No, they're not with the program, and we wish them the best.
And just to follow up, obviously there's been a lot of turnover the last couple of days and in season, and with not having spring, how do you kind of manage this with the guys that are in the locker room? And I guess what goes into, you know, maybe dealing with guys that, you know, do leave in the middle of the season and balancing things?
You just take it as it comes, really. I mean, whether guys are looking for a better opportunity or whether, you know, guys abide by the rules, you know, that type of thing. But, you just deal with it as it comes. But, like I say, those guys, they're into another chapter in their life, and so are we. So we wish them the best, but, we're really only concerned with the guys that are in the program that we're coaching. So,
also, do you have an update on Kylin Hill's status with the team?
I don't. I haven't talked to Kylin. What I heard is he was opting out and preparing for the NFL.
Hey, Mike, hope you're doing well. As far as Hill goes, I mean, in your mind, is he off the team?
What's that?
I mean, with Kylin
Hill. Is he? Well, I haven't talked. I haven't I haven't talked to him. Heard he opted out, and we wish him the best. But we're going to kind of focus on the guys that are on the team. So
you're obviously a very successful coach. You know, he'd had a very good year last year. He had a pretty good first game for you. Why do you think maybe you guys didn't hit it off?
Well, I didn't say that was the case, but we're not going to worry about that because, like I said, we're going to worry about the ones that we're coaching. So you'll have to take that up with, others perhaps.
Hey, Mike, just kind of in relation to kind of all the turnover and guys leaving and stuff the last few weeks, just how much of a distraction has this been the last couple of weeks? And I guess how have you guarded maybe against it becoming a distraction and just kind of the mood right now in the locker room with these guys who I'm sure, you know, tight with some of the other guys on the team, that sort of thing?
It's a little bit of a distraction. I don't really guard against it. I mean, every time that I've been involved with a new program, there's been a certain amount of turnover. I mean, you need guys to buy into what you're doing, and you need guys to buy in, and you need the guys that want to work really hard and play really hard and do it the right way. And, coming in, you have certain rules and expectations that you expect to be followed. And, and you know, either they abide by them or they don't, but you know the justice. And some guys just want an opportunity to play, and so it goes. But I'd be surprised if we don't lose more. I mean, so if it says you're stunned or nervous, I mean, you better brace yourself because we might lose more.
All right, Shane, so not even Mike Leach seems to know what the hell's going on with Kylan Hill. Hasn't spoken with him. Certainly sounds like – it sounds to me like they're leaving the door open for him, but they don't expect him to ever come back. That's how I read this. What were your thoughts on hearing these comments? And, you know, Coach Leach certainly seems to indicate more could be coming.
Yeah, and that's okay. If we're at that point, Mike, if we're at the point that the team's not bought in, then we gotta get rid of it. Coach Leach here to stay. These players, they've got a couple of them, got a couple years, maybe 1 year left. Coach Leach is going to be there for a long time, Mike. And to be successful, he's got to have folks buy into his program. And if you look historically at the Pirates records, he always struggles the first year. And now we're in 2020, the opt-out year, So this one doesn't blow my mind. And if you're a fan, I'm sure you've got mixed emotions on it. There's going to be some that are really happy that we're moving forward. There's going to be some upset because they were expecting great things from their team, and especially that week one success. It's got to be a little bit of a downer, but it's like bamboo, man. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen bamboo growing next to a stream?
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, if you don't cut that bamboo down, next thing you know, next year, following year, the year after, there's going to be bamboo all the way down to wherever it ends. And you've got to get rid of it all the way down to the root, or it's going to continue to spread. So I think that's kind of what we've got here in the Mississippi State locker room. We've got some players that aren't buying into what Coach Leach is doing. And if there's not leadership on the team, well, then it's got to be the coach and let them opt out. So just get the naysayers out. Get the negative Nellies out so that we can focus and build on the future. Now, again, I'm not there. I don't know how these conversations are going. I don't know what's being said behind closed doors. So I don't want to speculate. You know, there may be good reasons that these kids are leaving that we just don't know yet. So, but as an outsider looking in and taking a guess at what's going on in the transition of this culture, Coach Leach is his team's very systematic, and it's got to work from top to bottom. And if it's not, then it's going to fall apart. So, yeah, I'm ready for the new buy-in. I'm ready for the new Mississippi State.
I got to be honest with you, Shane. I'm a little disappointed by your comments.
Why is that?
I was hoping that you'd go on this tangent like I'm seeing all these people. Mike Leach is a damn joke. You hire a clown, you're going to get a circus. Mississippi State? Have they already given up on them? Is this going to be one and done for Coach Leach? This is what you get when you fire a guy that coming off winning seasons and keep winning the Egg Bowl. And I was going to do a complete 180. But I think you're exactly right, Shane. And obviously, this is not news that's going to help Mississippi State this year. That goes without saying. But, hell, they're playing so poorly. It's not like they were just going to flip a damn switch here during the bye week coming out of Alabama and whip up on the Crimson Tide and go on this epic run.
Right.
This is what happens when you don't got spring football and you don't get time to get to know your players. And, you know, a lot of these guys probably don't fit the system now. I do think, you know, the best coaches, they adapt to their players. So this isn't totally against the players or anything. I'm not trying to call these guys out. It is on the coaches to kind of adapt, but Leach is set in his way. That's the thing we've all heard about him. You know, I mean, he's running the same plays he ran 20 years ago, and it's not working currently. It's a mix of not being executed right and probably not knowing, you know, which players to put in the best position or knowing how much to ask of all of them. I mean, it's a combination of all these things. But this was bound to happen. It's just very unfortunate that it's happening during the season. And if you're a Mississippi State fan, I'm cautioning you not to freak out, because I think this is, like I just said, this is what was going to happen with this coaching change. And look at Joe Moorhead, who I have got a lot of respect for. Coach Moorhead, I think he's a very good coach. You know, he had Penn State as the offensive coordinator. They were in the college football playoff discussion. They've not really even been back there since he's gone. He got a job in about 5 minutes at Oregon to run their offense, and everyone that covers the Pac-12 recognizes them as one of the, if not the best program right now, one of them. So, you know, that should tell you what a good coach Joe Moorhead is. But we know at Mississippi State, while he had some success, while he did beat Ole Miss twice, and he led Mississippi State to back-to-back bowl games, There was problems with discipline and getting. Hell, we had the damn starting quarterback knocked out for the bowl game. Yeah. I mean, this is the shit we can't have. And I think, not saying that that's necessarily what's going on here at Mississippi State, but it's clear as day they had issues there with discipline and maybe lack of authority. And Mike Leach ain't putting up with that shit right now.
Right.
And that's what you want. You want a guy that's not going to put up with that, a guy with a proven track record, a guy that can come in there. And it's not working on the field right now, but that doesn't mean it's never going to work. And while this is bad news at the moment, people are throwing stones at you, they're laughing at you right now, that's life in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like I said, this is not going to be good for the team this year, obviously, but I think this is going to be good for the team next year. I think they're going to be further ahead than where they would be if all these guys are not bought in and they stuck around and they kind of stunted the growth of Mike Leach's program.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, man. Nailed it. What, did you have that scripted, wrote down?
No, I wish I did.
You went philosopher there for a minute.
I've had like four coffees today. I'm right on the edge there of insanity. But
I love it.
Hey, buddy. So that's all I got on this one. Like I said, it'd be a little bit shorter. You got anything? You got something for us, don't you?
Oh, do I? Let's get the big three.
Oh,
Cousin Shane's big three.
Watch it all. Deep ball. Metcalf got it. Touchdown, Seattle.
Second down and three. Big hole. Edwards-Helaire will take it to the end zone. Broncos at one. They do. Off they go. Catches made. Get the first and a lot more. Julio Jones out in front. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown.
Throws. Intercepted. It's picked off by Minka Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick is going to go.
Trying to check down, it got intercepted by Shy Tuttle, the rookie out of Tennessee. Stiff arms.
20. It's a block from Sherman. It's a block from Thompson. He's off to the races. Cuts inside. You can kiss him. Goodbye.
All right, Mike. Dude, fantastic weekend. Another great weekend in NFL. And couldn't have had it if we didn't have all this SEC talent, man. I'd like to just, I don't know, just call out a few of the boys, let them know how well they did. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, first off, I would like to start with a couple of honorable mentions. These guys were in the same game. One is one receiver, Christian Kirk. Does that one stand out to you?
Yes, sir. Texas A&M.
That's right. The fastest man in the West. But what he was able to do, well, I say fastest man, but I'm, you know what? Let's just jump to the other honorable mention before I get to Christian Kirk's stats. And that was DK Metcalf. Now, he didn't have a great game as far as receiving or catching touchdowns, but he did have the all-time greatest rundown, something that we've heard through speeches. We had Kiffin on here just not too long ago talking about, you know, never giving up. They clocked him at almost like 50 miles an hour. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was just amazing what he was able to do and stop an interception return for a touchdown. Just so that I have to put the honorable mention. That's just no give up in him, and I just thought that was fantastic. But back to Christian. Had a good game, wasn't able to win, but had five receptions for just 37 yards, but two important touchdowns. It was just good seeing him get back involved. Another honorable mention, last honorable mention, Mike. Last honorable mention goes to quarterback Matthew Stafford. Name the school.
Georgia.
Absolutely. 340 yards passing, a touchdown. But what was so awesome about this game? It's just how cursed the Atlanta Falcons are, Mike.
I was wondering if Todd Gurley was going to make your list.
Oh, I almost put him on it, man. If he would have won, I think I would have gave it to him. But what I liked about this game, actually going back to the DK Metcalf meme, there was a Cardinal, the guy that was returning the interception, it said Atlanta Falcons, and DK Metcalf on his jersey, it said fourth quarter. So they're doing good till they get to the fourth quarter, and that's why I gave it to Matthew Stafford, just because they were able to come back and win in a fantastic ball game. Next, okay, so let's get to the big three. Number three, from the University of Tennessee, Alvin Kamara, one of my favorite all-time players ever, had 14 carries for 83 yards, but again, he was able to do it again in the air with eight receptions, 65 yards. So just another fantastic ball game from him. Almost 150 yards total offense. Just an absolute unit. Number two, I'm going to go to the Tennessee Titans. They weren't able to get this game because they were playing a supreme team, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers, my favorite. But that didn't mean A.J. didn't try. He had six receptions, 153 yards, and a touchdown. You know, Steelers had this game for a while, and then all of a sudden the Titans made it very, very interesting. And a lot of that had to do with A.J. Brown finally making it back. So Ole Miss native, there's two of them. Man, could you imagine if Lane Kiffin had A.J. Brown and Metcalf right now?
Mm. No, I cannot. The SEC would not be able to stop that.
Oh, that'd be crazy. All right, last but not least, didn't win the game, Mike. And that's why I almost didn't put him at the one spot. Mm-hmm. But what he did, man, Joe Burrow, 406 yards passing, three touchdowns, six rushes, 34 yards, and a touchdown. He had the damn team on his back. Didn't have his running back. Joe Mixon was hurt, banged up, and he had to do it all with his arm. And the problem is, Mike, he scored too damn quick. If he would have held off for a few more seconds, it wouldn't get the Browns a chance to get back down the field and win the game. But, man, it just looked good seeing Joe Burrow out there. Kind of looked like LSU last year. Fantastic. And one side note, Mike, as we get on to this week, guess who's making his debut down there in the Miami Dolphins uniform?
Tua.
Release the Tua!
Yeah!
So, looking forward to that, man. And that's all the news I got from the NFL.
I feel bad for Joe Burrow, man. I one of the games I saw, I think he led the team down to game-winning field goal, and the kicker missed it.
Dude,
scored the touchdown there, the go-ahead. I don't know if that would have been his first, you know, comeback win, but then the Browns just march right back and do it to him. So
I know
he's a guy to build around, that's for sure. But they just, you know, they were picking number one for a reason. It certainly looks like to me.
Absolutely, man. And I know you don't care about offensive line, but Joe Burrow has got a terrible offensive line. So I hope they spend all their drafts and, you know, they're going to build around him and they're going to create something special up there, which I'm not ready for, because let's not forget, I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I don't want the Cincinnati Bengals getting too good. But I think that they've got something special there, man. He's doing fantastic this year.
All right, Shane. So, hey, that's all we got on this episode. We're going to obviously finish strong on the week and have a picks podcast. We got 6 games to break down on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Some real coin flip games, in my opinion. I know not all the spreads are that close, but I think the games will be. So looking forward to that. You got anything else before we hop off here, buddy?
No, sir. That is it. I appreciate hanging out, doing all the work, Mike, as usual, as I'm just, you know, living my life out in the woods. Like, just pull up, show up, and pod out. But no, I'm excited about this coming up week. You know, there's a lot of great games, and who knows, man. I just feel like we're going to have a couple more upsets. So I'm looking forward to it, brother. We'll have the picks on tomorrow. We'll have a weather update. Could have used that today with Chris, SEC Chris, coming on and giving us the update there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show and making some money this weekend.
Absolutely. Well, hey, don't forget to get in those 5-star written reviews on the Apple Podcast app. New reviews, not an updated one. This is the last day to get...
You know who you are.
Well, the only reason I say that is if you just update, it doesn't add to our total. That's what we're really trying to do, add to our total here. But we do appreciate the hustle. But what I was saying, this is going to be the last day. If you want to get in on that T-shirt action, I'm going to be doing a drawing on Friday's show. So get those reviews in now. Those have been really flying in, so we really do appreciate each and every one of those. And of course, as always, you get a free beer koozie. That's not changed. We got plenty of those left. We've got damn near every team covered now. We've got Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee. If you haven't put your review in yet and you're one of those fans of one of those teams, get that in. We'll send you a beer koozie free of charge. That's just our way of saying thanks to each and every one of you. But hey, Shane, that's going to do it. I know you got to get off here before the wife gets home. And I got some more work to do, so I think that's going to do it, buddy. Thanks, as always, for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
One last thing, Mike. We got the poll on That SEC Podcast. So if you get onto Twitter, look up That SEC. Is that where we are? That SEC Podcast?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Where are we?
It's only been out for about 2 years, Shane. It's about time you learned the name of the account there.
Jump on there. We're going to have the polls up with the spread. So pick who you think's going to win against the spread. We're going to include those tomorrow on the pick show as well. And I'm going to have some results of last week's and see if you could make a little money off your guys' votes. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for everything, Mike. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with and girls for hanging out with us. And I will see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm butchering the ending. Go Vols.
Hey there, SEC fans. If you've been enjoying the music of this podcast, then head on over to www.crimsoncalamitymusic.com to follow us on social media and to hear our new song, Ghost. Out now on all streaming services and wherever digital music is sold. Thanks so much for listening, and now back to you, Mike and Shane.